All right, starting to record it. Welcome back, fiends, to Handle with Scare, presented by the Slash and Cast Podcast Network. Our show discusses horror movies and the phobias they emphasize. Throughout the month, we've been taking a closer look at hibernophobia and the dislike of Ireland and Irish people. Before I introduce tonight's film and my co-host, just a few general reminders for you guys. You can stay connected with us over on X at Handle with Scare, and be sure to join us for our Twisted Tuesday and Thursday watch parties, which are held every Tuesday and Thursday night at 7:30 p.m. Pacific time over at kick.com/homelydruck. Now, with that being said, as you can tell, I'm joined once again by my co-host, Grindhouse Zombie. And, Grindhouse, you know, obviously we've had a lot of stuff going on. You know, we've had a couple of technical mishaps, lost episode, a couple of delays. We had Days of the Dead here in Chicago. We've had a lot of shit going on. You know, squirrels running rampant. You know, who knows what's going on down there. We've had, like, I just feel like things have just been, like, snowballing to the point where it's like, all right, we got to sit down, we got to record. We got three shows to do this week, so this is going to be absolutely fantastic to basically knock out the entirety of the month of the episodes that we will be releasing. But with that being said, you know, I've really enjoyed our little detour into Irish horror. And, of course, you know, we had a great time at Days of the Dead. Unfortunately, like, I couldn't come back on Saturday because I had other commitments, but I did kind of like make a day out of it after the fact because I did catch a double feature late showing for both of the new theatrical releases, that, of course, being Immaculate and Late Night with the Devil. And I have to say, man, like, this past weekend, genre fans were definitely eating good.
Well, yeah, I mean, so first, Days of the Dead. Yeah, that was so fun. The trip almost thwarted again, this time by a squirrel and not a fucking flat tire as last time. But yeah, great to meet up with you and Jim and have some dinner and then walk the con. I was lucky enough. I braved the line to stand in line to meet and get some autographs from Clive Barker. Made a new friend in line. His name was Benny. He looked like a white supremacist, but he was anything but. So that was really fun. And as we walked into the room, they closed the door behind us and said, no more. And we were both like, well, okay. So that was a lot of fun. Picked up a lot of stuff at the con that I didn't need but had to have. I know you know how that works. Puzzle boy. But yeah, what a great weekend. And then I was so jealous of your double feature. I was trying to scam and figure out how I could do that. And then I had to go shopping with my wife on Saturday afternoon. So that was fun. Not really, but whatever. I did end up seeing Late Night with the Devil. And boy, our horror pal, David S. Mulchain, knocked it out of the park. Great movie, something everyone should go see. Back to our horror, or I call it our horror fear of the month and the fear of the Irish. Yeah, the first episode didn't go so hot. It went in the shitter, courtesy of your mixer. But shit happens.
Hey,
so
I mean, it went great until that moment, you know, and then we like lost 20 minutes of audio. So you know, it was just unfortunate that. You know, it was kind of like a major portion of like the middle part of the movie. So it's just like, well, like, ugh, there's nothing I can really, I can't do anything with that.
Well, and I would say for the astronauts on the Challenger, it went great up until that moment. Yeah. So there we go. So, yes, unfortunately, no Leprechaun for this month. I mean, kind of the given. That's kind of where we started. But we're going to. We're going to surmount this problem, and we're going to knock out three episodes in roughly 3 to 4 days. So that should be fun because we don't like sleep or good mental health. That's just who we are. That's awesome. I'm kind of excited to talk about The Hollow, and mostly because I have never been so aggravated by a crying baby in my life, and I've been on a lot of long flights. But if there's one thing this movie left me with, is that I don't like crying babies.
That is a pretty fair takeaway, to say the least. So with The Hollow, we have a family who moved into a remote Milhouse in Ireland finds themselves in a fight for survival with demonic creatures living in the woods. All right, so at the start, we meet our young London couple, Adam and Claire, who are, you know, standing aboard, like, this small boat sailing along the scenic Irish coastline, and, you know, they have decided to leave, basically the hustle and bustle of the city, for this remote cottage in the Irish wilderness. Adam, who is, I'm trying to think, like, if they actually said, like, what his job was, because it seems like he does kind of, like, work for this logging company, but he's also kind of, like, an expert botanist. He's basically, like, intending to study the, you know, surrounded woods of this area, presumably, you know, for the sake of preserving and protecting the ecosystem, but, you know, don't necessarily, like, expressively, like, state, like, what he actually does, but we do see him, like, you know, collecting samples along the way, and then, like, the collecting of, like, the wood comes in at the very tail end of the movie, before, you know, we get the very, very stereotypical final jump scare, which didn't really need to be a thing, but, you know, hey, it's there, which, you know, was great for, you know, M, because I know she was having an absolute fantastic time with this one, because this one definitely does have quite a few jump scares. I'm not gonna say it's too many, but I would say, like, out of everything that we've watched on Twisted Tuesday in, like, the past 6 or 7 months, I think this one probably got her the most, at least, like, that sort of, like, reaction from her. So, like, that was fun in its own right. But regardless, while we are still kind of, like, getting settled into this new house, Adam is taking the baby, Finn, out for a walk, because, you know, if there's one thing I know about taking care of children, it's, you know, they are not going to be fussy at all wandering aimlessly through the woods for long periods of time. Now, I found that part of this movie, like, pretty funny to me, because, like, one of my friends really likes going on, like, these long, like, hikes, whether it's, you know, on paths or, you know, in the woods and whatnot. And I know he recently had a kid, and he's been taking the kid, you know, and the backpack and all along on these, like, very long walks. And I was like, okay, well, like, how long can the kid actually go without, like, causing a scene or, you know, just, you know, being fussy? And he basically told me an hour. And I was just flabbergasted at that reaction. Because I for sure thought it'd been, like, 5 minutes tops, and then this kid is just, like, wailing away, like there's no tomorrow. Finn, I would say, might fare a little bit better, you know, at least to my thoughts on this. But, you know, my buddy's baby, not a problem in the world, hour tops. And, you know, I gotta give him credit, because I definitely would not be able to do that just walking myself, you know. I'd already be kicking and screaming within probably 20 minutes.
Well, okay, so fair enough. Yeah, I saw something today that reminded me a little bit of this movie and this guy's sort of overall attitude towards, well, I'm just going to go out and take the kid. And this video that I saw was absolutely priceless, and it was a dad going to Home Depot. And he stops his truck and he takes out a car seat and then takes out a second car seat and then takes out a third car seat. He's got triplets. And he's trying to figure out how to shop at Home Depot with triplets. And he eventually breaks out a box of carabiners and puts one car seat on the orange, you know, the orange thing that you see at Home Depot. Hangs one from the middle with the carabiners and then puts the last one on the end. And some guy's like, good job. And he's like, you know what? You got to do what you got to do. And I think that's this guy's attitude through the whole thing. He's like, I've just got to do what I got to do. And I like your point about, like, what's his actual job? Because he comes off as something of a conservationist, but at the same time, it's like, especially as he goes on his sort of first hike with Finn, and he finds that there's, like, an animal carcass and it's been kind of blown open, and he starts kind of scraping samples and doing it. But then it's like, he takes them home and starts to play with them. And I don't think from a scientific perspective, that's exactly what would happen. I think maybe you'd seal them in a glass jar, put a label on it, and then send it off somewhere to have somebody else play with it, because you're probably not super well equipped to figure out what it is. But hey, we're in the woods, we're all alone. Let's just devil may care and just go for it and see what happens. And as it turns out, bad things, man. Really bad things.
Yeah, well, I can't say I've ever been, you know, wandering the woods, finding, you know, deer carcass that has, like, really odd, like, microbes growing inside of it. And we got, like, these little, I'm not even trying to be sciencey. You know, we got, like, these little spiky protrusions that are, like, in the carcass as well. We got, like, black sludge. And, of course, everyone knows, you know, especially with babies around, really, really safe things to be, you know, breathing in. You know, it's like black mold, essentially, in this case. And I love the point when he's like, he's collecting the sample, and he's just like turning back to Finn, and he's like, don't tell your mother. It's like, it's a baby, for fuck's sake. Like, what is Finn going to do? You know, it's not like the mom is going to find out until, you know, he brings the samples home. If she, like, wanders into, you know, the little lab setup that he has going on, which is essentially just a desk and, you know, a mic, like a microscope at that rate. But definitely, it was interesting watching this because, like, so many times, you know, our community was just drawing parallels to The Last of Us. And, you know, I get that. There's definitely some aspects of that maybe not as heavy-handed as an influence as, say, like Gaia, which was like another one that we had reviewed way back in the day, which was one of like the Hulu exclusives back at the time, which also had like the whole fungal monsters at like full-blown proportions too. And this one doesn't really quite have that. Obviously, they kind of like have their own creatures in this movie that are very specific to like this particular region, or at least the folklore of the region. But, you know, it's funny to me that, you know, after, regardless of like how many things have come out when it comes to, you know, these sort of like infestations, like The Last of Us being so prominent in today's culture is always like the one thing that people will like draw the influence from, or like that's the first thing that they think of. And it just shows you like how much of like a reach that The Last of Us did have, even for people who didn't actually play the game. But a lot of people took into, you know, consuming and watching the TV series when it was on, you know, HBO.
Well, sure. I mean, the Last of Us in and of itself has become a singularity, like in horror, right? It's become that point where going forward, a lot of other points will be drawn from. And I think that's fair. I mean, it was a really great series. Now, was it heavy-handed in a lot of its politics and some other things? It was. I mean, and if you don't think so, then I'm sorry, you're not paying attention. But there were some other movies too, and one that we talked about, and I think it was before I actually joined Handle with Scare, when I was just, you know, popping in and saying hello, was The Beach House. Another one where we had, you know, sort of, and it was maybe more of a water landscape and maybe less focused on the, say, the woodsy landscape, but kind of a very same feel, where they used that environment to their advantage. And now granted, I think The Beach House is more, it leans a little bit more towards the zombie thing, which, I mean, come on, Grindhouse Zombie, duh. But still with this one, I mean, it's still, as much as it does give you some comedy, like, you know, don't tell your mother. I mean, that guy's, honestly, that guy's just preparing for the next 15 years to be a bitch at at his wife by just doing things wrong. Mm-hmm. That's just smart. He's just planning ahead. But it turns into a movie that I think it gets a little bit deeper than that. It has some fun at its own expense at times. And it was more fun to watch than I thought it was going to be, because it's very dreary. Mm-hmm. I think that's the word that comes. It's just dreary and it's gray and it's woodsy. And you can make the woods vibrant if you want to. They can be very, very vibrant and they can be very appealing. And this movie does like the complete opposite of that and makes the woods just kind of dark and gray and damp and not necessarily scary, at least to start, but foreboding, like a place you wouldn't want to go.
Yeah, and of course, no horror movie would be complete without, like, our Harbinger character, which we do have one in this movie as well. We have our local, I think his name is Colm, in this, who is, you know, kind of like this creepy and really, like, unnecessarily angry fella. Who starts doing, you know, a thing where, you know, he gives just nothing but cryptic warnings and messages to, you know, the couple here. Doesn't really specify precisely, you know, what he's warning them about, though. But, you know, this family's basically been encroaching on this territory known as the Hollow. Which, you know, is interesting in itself, because, like, when I was, like, reading up on this, it's a little misleading because, like, that noun kind of, like, refers to, like, this colony of, like, weird, gooey creatures that the locals in this area basically, like, learn to live with. And, of course, like, they're trying to, like, keep them at bay with the use of iron and bright light. But, of course, you know, you have this couple who doesn't really buy into that. You know, they're not going to believe in, like, the local superstitions. And basically just, like, dismiss this guy off as just, like, this unhinged hillbilly. So they just don't have a bother in the world in regards to, like, taking any sort of, like, protective measures. And, you know, like, we see the husband constantly, like, wandering around in the woods. And I know, too, like, the part that really makes things confusing, like, with what his job actually is just the fact that as he is wandering, he is spray painting trees to mark them. And, you know, it's, I don't know if I need to take that as, like, he's marking the ones that are infected or if he's marking the ones that are, like, good to cut down, because, like, we do see them cutting down, you know, the wooded area, like, later on in the movie. But it was just, like, one of those scenes where it's just, like, you know, I try not to, like, pinpoint on, like, okay, like, well, like, what's the explanation for, like, this person? And, like, what is he doing here? And it's just, like, it's really a hard thing to nail down, at least from Adam's perspective. For me, I just assumed he was just marking them as infected in this case. Because, obviously, like, no, he's seen some of the things that are happening around him. Obviously, he's collected samples. So he knows, like, there's obviously, like, something not quite right about the area. And he's still, you know, trying to, like, get to the bottom of that.
That's interesting that you say that, because I took the opposite away. I thought that he was, as much as he was an environmentalist and something of a conservationist, like, I figured that he was hired by somebody to come in here, and as you got to know more of the town and more of what was going on, and especially a lot of the townspeople's response to them, it was like they had this vibe of them being the man, right? And the man was coming here to ruin things. I mean, and so from the, call it the conservationist standpoint, you know, the spray painting of the trees, I thought he was picking out the ones that should be cut down versus the ones that were infected and should be left alone. So it's interesting that we took two completely different things away from that. You know, I just know that, like, there's a movie coming out, and it's, I think it's called Sasquatch Sunset. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the big things in there, is the Sasquatch seeing the big red X on the tree and what does it mean and everything. And so I think as a, you know, I'm a capitalist at heart, but I also love to go out and hike, and I love the environment too. So there's always that delicate balance of how do you do both. And so I do think it's cool that we took two different things away from that, and, like, who was trying to do what when it came to the trees. Because it's, you know, it's, when it comes to our resources, it's like, the trees and the environment, like, we only get one of those, right? And there gets to be a point where if we fuck it up too much, it's gonna go, you know. I'm a believer that our planet is stronger than we are, and there might be a point that it just comes out and just goes whap and just knocks us all off and we're just done. So hopefully we don't get to that point. But it was cool how they, depending on what he was doing, they twisted him back and forth between being, well, I'm doing this thing because I'm working for this company. But at the same time, he was, you know, sort of almost harboring this fungal thing to kind of see what it was going to do. Like, it didn't seem like he was super forthcoming with it to everybody. And then as far as Colm goes, I mean, it's like he was our movie's Crazy Ralph. Like, he totally was, right? And talking about, like, using the iron and things like that, I mean, one of the big things is that in their house, it was like complete, all the windows were covered in iron bars. And it was something that they were really skeptical about. They didn't really understand, you know, and when they came into town and they're like, hey, we have this broken window, and the villagers are all like, ooh, and they all took a step back and it was like, what are you doing? And then we have Colm, he kind of comes up again and he's like, you know, you need to leave. You need to get out of here, you know? So, I mean, kind of right away, they give you this really wholesome moment with the dad and the kid. And he's just doing these things. And you have this joke about don't tell mom. And they really get this built up nicely as kind of a wholesome family. And then as things start to sort of unravel, it gets, I mean, for lack of a better term, I mean, I think you said it, this movie has a lot of what I would call jump scares. And, you know, I didn't think, because I think they kept them a little bit different enough, I didn't think the jump scares overstayed their welcome. Often these days, and I'm going to use the movie Talk to Me as an example, that movie was built on jump scares. And they told the story through jump scares. And once you got through them all, and you knew the jump scares, the story falls apart really fast. This movie didn't do that. I thought it kept a good job of keeping the pace up and just kind of continuing to watch this fungus as it does its thing. And I think this is just for me now. This is just Grindhouse Zombie. Something like this, a fungus, is scary as hell to me. It's just scary as hell because it's a simple thing. You don't really think about it, but then you blink and it's doubled in size, and it's it went from your front steps to your front door to your windowsills to your, and it's like you don't often watch it, but it's when you're not watching it the bad things start to happen.
Yep, which is all the more reason why you need to keep it near the baby. like the dad does in this movie. But what I really like about this, like I feel like it's necessary to dive a little bit into kind of like the folklore of like medieval Irish tradition, because like it does really fit kind of hand in hand with the story that they are portraying in this. So the Hollow basically takes its inspiration, albeit like a little bit loosely, from medieval Irish traditions. And, you know, according to this tradition, Ireland was settled by a succession of different non-human races before the Milesians, who are, like, the ancestors of contemporary Irish, who had arrived from Spain and conquered their predecessors. Now, I'm not going to, like, try to get, like, use all the fancy words here, but basically, like, you had this prior race who were driven underground by the Milesians. And, you know, you can kind of, like, take underground as kind of, like, otherworldly in this case. But, you know, sometimes it does seem quite literal. But they've kind of, like, remained in Irish legends as, like, these godlike figures who had, you know, powerful magic. Sometimes, you know, they were friendly beings. Sometimes they or not so friendly towards humans either, and they have since persisted in Irish tradition to, you know, current times, and more times than not, they're kind of, like, conflated with fallen angels, and they are generally referred to as, like, fairies, essentially. Now, in this movie, like, obviously, there's a little bit of deception being played, especially, like, towards the later end of the movie when it comes to Baby Finn. And obviously, you know, we kind of have, like, the mom and the dad kind of, like, at ends about, like, who actually has Finn in this sort of situation. And, you know, you kind of have that changeling type of moment that unfolds. But, you know, it's made very clear from, like, the beginning of the movie that the monsters that this family are dealing with, like, are these creatures. And, you know, it's hard to say, like, whether, you know, they are, like, these supernatural sort of beings, or they kind of, like, portray them as, like, these humans who have just kind of, like, been infected by these, you know, cordyceps of this area, which are just, you know, infesting the entire forest here.
Well, okay. So, going back to what you said about, we'll call it the Irish and their folklore. I mean, they are heavy into, whether you call it otherworldly or whether you call it fairies or whatever else, just the beings that live in the trees, mm-hmm. and the beings that live in the holes. And, you know, to define what a hollow was back then, I mean, most of what I've read about is a hollow was effectively like an intersection of a bunch of different, like, natural land things, where you'd have a river and you'd have a forest and you'd have a swamp, and all these things came together into a place that was called the hollow. And, you know, it was a place where all of the creatures of the forest dwelt. That's really kind of what it was. And creatures of the forest might not be what you think they were. But I think that's why a lot of the lore and the legend is really cool, because a lot of that stuff still, like, I've been to Ireland. A lot of that stuff still persists today. It's like, I went to a really fancy place in Ireland and they said, hey, there's a spot in the woods. Don't go there. And don't go there because. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as a tourist, it was like, okay, I'm not going. That's fine. But I think with this, I mean, they, and especially with this movie, they do such a good job of keeping, and you called it the cordyceps. Wonder where you got that word from. Like this fungus, they do such a good job of keeping it as this weird mainstay character, but all while being able to watch its evolution. I mean, and it makes it. Now, I'm talking about a fungus evolving, so I understand that it does not sound all that impactful. But it's really fun to watch, and I agree with your point about let's keep it as close to the baby as humanly possible. Like, I never really did understand the logic there. My first thought would be to take the baby away. But apparently, I'm you know, possibly a good parent. I don't know. Watching this thing as it grows and as it evolves, and watching what the hollow truly becomes, and for a lot of parts in this movie, how the people in the town react to them and react to what's happening, and everybody gets this kind of like standoffish thing where everyone starts taking a step back slowly. And just watching how, I don't know, there's this weird evolution of how the fungus sort of comes into its own, and the people of the town sort of, it feels like they know it's going to happen. So they're all collectively taking a step back and being like, well, you know what? You uncork the bottle, you go ahead and deal with it.
Absolutely, and I absolutely love the fact that Colm basically hands them, like, this really old book, which is, like, it's kind of, like, bound in tree bark, in this case, which basically contains some, like, photocopied stories, albeit kind of badly, and just the way that's you know, show displayed like in the book here, just stories of these fairies and these changelings, or, you know, just these other tidbits of Irish folklore, to, you know, kind of give them the rundown. We don't have, you know, the, you know, we don't have like the leprechaun-esque, you know, like 8-bit lore that we got from Leprechaun 3 or anything like that. This one is more hands-on media, which is absolutely great to see. And, you know, since the Hitchensons have an infant son, Finn, you know, the changeling lore really comes into play almost immediately in this case. And, of course, changelings are these imposter fairies who are basically, like, left in place of human bodies, which then, you know, the fairies will take them away to live with them in the other world, or in this case, you know, as portrayed in the movie, they'll take him back to the Hollow. So after we have the window breaking in Finn's room, which, you know, happens kind of suddenly during the night, they, of course, suspect that, you know, Calm is the one who is behind that. Soon enough, you know, we have these other strange phenomena that is starting to occur. As, you know, Adam and Claire basically begin to unravel the mystery around the land on which they have chosen to basically put down their roots, which is the right way that we should say this, which is the most fitting way because, you know, they do live in this, you know, forested area.
Well, I think the book honestly to me was really cool because if you think about like how it was bound and how it looked like it was bound in tree bark. I mean, that's like the lifeblood of the forest, right? I mean, that's really it. And the hard part of that is you never know, like, what you're going to find within the tree. And so, like, where I live, we, you know, we tap maple trees for their syrup. Sometimes we have to cut branches off, and sometimes they're full of ants and other weird shit and whatever else. So knowing that the information that you're getting is effectively bound in the skin of the tree is almost a little bit of a dichotomy to me because you don't know what you're going to get. Are like, are we getting the truth about the forest, or are we getting, you know, all the potential bad things of the forest and what, you know, or at least perceived bad things that the forest is going to give us. But, you know, as this goes on, and like, there's some points in this movie. It's like when Adam's car breaks down and, you know, he's kind of, because I think we talked about it when we watched it. It's like, this guy never struck me as being super mechanical. So it's like his car could have broken down for 100 different reasons, right? But then you find out that this fungus, you know, is basically the cause of why his car broke down. But then there's this point where it's like he's all of a sudden pushed into the trunk of the car and he's locked in. And it's like we're back to that point where we hear Finn crying again and again. Every time I heard that, I put my fingers in my ears because I just hate the sound of a crying baby. I just hate it. But I like how, I don't know, there's something where they give us this energy in Adam where he's like, he's just going to keep trying and keep fighting, you know, and he's, you know, he breaks out through the back seat, you know, and the baby's unharmed and it's a baby. I mean, there's a rare movie that's actually going to hurt a baby, but you also never know until you see it for the first time. But, and then coming out and it's like, the car is just covered in scratches and gashes and things. And it's just like, well, what the, you know, so it starts to give you this idea that this fungus, you know, is probably got like a bigger, call it a bigger plan in mind. But then you start thinking about a fungus having a plan and it's like, kind of makes me want to go to my fridge and throw away my mushrooms. You know what I mean? And when she tells him about Crazy Ralph, you know, and it's like, it's time to call the cops and like get a gun and we're going to dig in and we're going to see what's happening. And it's like, it takes you to a little bit of a different place. Like, it's like, I wouldn't think that a fungus is going to knock out my power and trash my house. You know, it's like it doesn't. And that's kind of when you sort of start to figure out where it's like, okay, this is a little bit bigger. And they're starting to, you know, encounter these monsters that everyone in the village just warned them about. All these things that they could not possibly believe before. And it's like, now you're starting to figure out that these things might be real.
Oh, you know what to say, seeing is believing in this case. But I think for me, one of the things that is so unique to this movie is with the Hollow, you know, obviously you have like the scientific approach of things. And obviously, you know, we have the folklore aspect, which is often, you know, has like that fairy tale, you know, depiction. And so many times when it comes to horror movies, these two things are always put at odds with one another. But the Hollow kind of has like its own unique approach to it, because it does tend to like blend the two of them together. Because, you know, the monsters in this movie are kind of like a hybrid, like they kind of like fall into both categories. They are all of modern science, but they also are rooted within like the ancient fables that we have in Ireland. So I thought that was pretty cool. And, you know, the creature effects in this movie are definitely one of the true highlights of the film, outside of, you know, some of the cinematography shots that we do get, which, you know, you would already kind of like touched on earlier. And, you know, it's great because, like, when we have like our first like indication of like what these creatures actually are, you know, we kind of only get like small glimpses of them early on. You know, like we see them for like a few seconds, like stepping out of the shadows into basically like the taillights of the car. And then, you know, we see them grow over the course of the time. As you mentioned, you know, we see like the giant like slash marks all around the body. Like, yeah, turns out like getting your car's keyed or tire slashed are the least of your worries in Ireland in this case. Like, they will just leave your car in an absolute like heap of like just scrap metal in this case.
Well, so I think, you know, as I think what you said is actually probably one of the best points of this movie, where they do a great job of blending what would be called mythical lore and science into one thing. And you're right. Most movies tend to pick one side or the other, because mixing the two generally proves pretty complicated. Now, I think the thing that they have going for them in this is the baby. The baby is what makes the blend, I think, more palatable. Because, you know, there are certain times in this where, mostly through the book, you know, Claire is introduced to the theory of there being a changeling. And that, with Finn, makes that all, it's one of those rare times in a movie where, for another movie, you'd go, oh, fucking come on, really? And in this movie, because of it being the baby, because of the way the book was presented, it makes it really natural and it flows really well. And you're just like, okay. And you don't find yourself doubting. You find yourself a little more interested in what's going on. And that is probably one of the coolest moments in the movie, where if you don't like these kind of movies, I think it's the point where you just go, nope, and you just sort of mentally check out. And if you really dig these kind of movies, you're like, fuck it, I'm all in. And that's where, I mean, especially when Finn is finally, abducted, you know, and you're like, well, I'm here for the end. I want to see what's going to happen. Admittedly, there's a little piece of the end that's maybe a little predictable, maybe a little bit. But I don't know how you would have finished the story in a different way, you know, especially when you have Colm come in, you know, and talk about his daughter you know, going down into the hollow and being abducted by the creatures of the forest. And when they sort of introduce Korra, and it's like, you know, she's literally a creature of the forest. And it's like, well, I mean, there's a little bit of a time where you're like, what the hell is going on? It's like, I don't. But I think that's good enough that it tips you back on your heels a little bit. And you're like, I don't exactly know what's happening, but I really want to see it. And that, to me, I've said this before, that's one of the staples of a good movie. When I get knocked back on my heels a little bit and I'm like, huh, well, okay, show me what's next. And damn, do they.
You know, it's interesting, too, because, like, when it comes to the creature designs of the Hollow, you know, we do have variations to the creatures that we do see. You know, they come in all sorts of shapes and sizes. Of course, you do have a couple of, like, noteworthy variations that we see. The one that strikes, like stands out the most and is the most striking to me is just, like, at one point, all we see is just, like, this really long arm that kind of like forces its way through a hole in the trapdoor of the attic. You know, it's just like, you know, we have this creature that it's attached to, but like it's never really presented in like a particular scene, which, you know, makes that effect even more horrifying. It's just like, well, what the hell is this scene like actually attached to? Like, you have no idea. Again, you know, Korra, you know, is frightening and has like this sort of like ghoulish appearance to her, and there's quite a bit of body horror elements kind of like thrown in as well. So, you know, if you like spikes and eyeball torture, you know, there's definitely some moments that are pretty tense in this as well. So, you know, you do kind of like get that sort of like Fulci inspiration getting added to the mix. But it's For me, like, when we kind of, like, get towards the end of this movie, you know, you mentioned a little bit of, like, predictability. And, you know, of course, you know, we do get a point where, like, you know, the dad gets infected. And, you know, his demeanor definitely takes a tonal shift. You know, you have the mom who is looking to protect the baby. You know, the parents are kind of, like, fighting back and forth. And, you know, the dad basically has, like, that redeeming-type moment towards the end of the movie. And, you know, for the most part, it's just a matter of, like, okay, well, like, where is baby Finn? Like, who are we supposed to believe in this case? And, of course, you know, Finn is back with the creatures in the Hollow. And, of course, in his place, we do have, you know, the Changeling.
Well, that's what makes this movie fun, though, is they do give you a little bit of a moment, a little bit of a dynamic of, like, which is which. And, you know, as soon as they mentioned, you know, changelings, and, you know, and that came out of the book that Colm gave Claire, I mean, you sort of know what's going to happen. And that's, I mean, and that's maybe the predictability part of it. At the same time, though, they do sort of do a good job of giving you the old which is which, you know, where's it's the old shell game. Like, you know, where's the peanut? Am I going to be able to find it? And well, it's both a fair representation of a movie trope, and that's what it is. It's a movie trope. But with this movie, it's quite well done. I mean, and that's just the only way I can say it is it's quite well done. You know, and you know, after Claire does sort of re-secure Finn and this fucking poor baby and his shitty parents. You know, Adam breaks his leg. I mean, and they're, you know, they're doing all these things, and then there's the big fight. And I do love the arm coming through the attic. It, to me, that was very reminiscent of Poltergeist. I got that vibe, and that it was not a bad thing. It was not a bad thing to get that vibe. But you know, and we have, you know, Claire taking off into the forest, you know, and running into a nearby house. And when all these things are happening, I thought the the camera flash was an interesting, call it a weapon, sort of. And, you know, as we get to the very, very end, and it's like, you know, he's like, no, I have the baby. And she's like, no, I don't think you do. And he's like, yes, I do. And, you know, knowing that he's effectively been taken over and, you know, she has to basically go with her gut and like take all these things that she's learned and taken in. And to your point, she's learned things of science and things of lore through this whole thing. And she has to make a measured and conscious decision, you know, and she swaps the baby at the last minute before Adam finally dies. And it's kind of rare. This is one of those movies where it was like, I figured he was going to die and I was kind of rooting for it. I'm not sure why. Something about that guy just kind of bugged me. You know, but then, you know, getting to the very end and as the sun comes up and, you know, the creatures are kind of crawling back into the forest because apparently they don't like the sun, but I thought the sun was good for the forest. I have a little problem with that piece of it. Like, sun's kind of good, but the sun does destroy the changeling, you know, and it kind of proves that, like, you know, somebody was right and somebody was wrong. And you kind of have to have that moment in the movie, which is, again, something I'm fine with, because that's not, you know, I'm not some purist who was like, I need a unique story every single time. You know, it's sometimes it's okay to go with what works. You know, but then, you know, when Adam dies, much as I was rooting for it, it was sort of, there was a little bit of a, well, now we have a family shattered, you know, and we get to listen to Finn cry some more because we both know how much I like that. And the very end of it is as kind of tropey as it was, and it was tropey as hell. The very end of the movie was tropey as hell. I think because now it's ultimately revealed that if I read this correctly, Adam worked for a logging company and they were coming in and they were doing, I don't want to call it deforestation because that's, you know, but they were logging and, you know, watching as that log is being carted away and it has that kind of fungal slime on it as it's going away. I mean, it's another one of those where it's not quite apocalyptic, but it's like, and this is just where my brain went. It's like, okay, so I know how logs are processed and I know what happens to them. And it's like, there's this little piece of me that was like, okay, all of that tree bark that is on this log is going to end up on the floor of a manufacturing facility. And they're like, what's it going to do from there? Mm-hmm. Are we going to have now like the Christine of logging company machines? It's like, I don't know what we're going to do from here. Like, I mean, it was probably the weirdest part of the movie where it was like, I see what you're trying to do, but I can't see where it's going to go from here. I can't make the connection. So the end was a little hard for me.
Yeah, I get that, because it was fairly generic, but for me, after just saying, like, oh, well, like, there's still, like, that fungal infection on the logs, that just shows me that Anna fucking sucked at his job, because if he was marking, you know, the forest for, like, what is good to cut down, you know, clearly, you know, he missed a couple along the way, so, like, he should have taken more time on, you know, his daily walks with Finn to make sure that, you know, things are actually good. And maybe he could have, you know, prevented whatever is to follow, whatever that may be, which, you know, we will never know at this case. But I have to say, though, like, I already mentioned, I aforementioned this earlier, but it's just like, I really dislike when movies commit like that just very heinous sin of just inserting just a complete random and pointless jump scare during the end credits. You know, there's just, we see it happen too many fucking times. Just like, all right, you know, we get it. But I think there was like already enough in here, like for the jump scares, which is like at that point, it's just like, really? We're doing this? Because I know for some people, like, that would definitely be enough to, like, you know, negate a little bit of the score away from it. Or, like, you know, drop it down a peg. But, like, I hate when movies do that. You know, it's just as nonsensical as the whole, like, countdown before, like, the trailer starts bullshit meta that we're currently in the middle of, which I was griping about not that long ago over in the Discord. But all in all, The Hollow still holds up fairly well. And I was laughing so hard at the end of this because, like, for the longest time, I was like, wait a minute. I was confusing two movies that are set in the forest, and, like, I've seen both of them, and I don't know why I would get the two of them confused, because they do have different approaches. But the one I kept thinking of was The Ritual.
Oh.
Which, yeah, I had seen on Netflix. But I remember I'd already seen both of these, but it's just, like, you know, just having that same sort of set and having, like, that really, you know, like, crappy shack in the woods. And, you know, it felt really interchangeable, but both of them are just absolutely phenomenal.
See, I'm kind of to the point where with that last, even call it the, I don't want to call it the stinger scare, but we'll call it the stinger scare because that's kind of a fun way to put it. Like, watching movies in the theater, and I'm very much a theater person now. Like, I just love the whole experience. But one of the things I do to myself, which I probably shouldn't do, is I have the giant bucket of popcorn with 17 gallons of butter and, you know, 4 pounds of salt on it. Mm-hmm. And I can imagine seeing this movie in a theater and that last jump scare being aimed specifically at me making sure I can still control my bowels at the end of the movie after all that popcorn and grease. Because if a movie could make me shit myself, honestly, I would give it a point just for that. I see what you're saying, though, and it's completely fair. It's like we've come all this way. Why give me that last little bit? If I was in the theater, I would have loved that. At the end, it was just like, well, sure, why not? Mm-hmm. You know, because we've gotten this far. Why not just kick the can a little bit more? And so I'm fundamentally okay with it. But was it unnecessary? Yeah, it was. But I didn't make the movie. I didn't fund the movie. And I'll honestly think that overall, it didn't take away from my experience with the movie. Right. It was just that last little bit of, like, well, that was pretty good. And you're starting to stretch and you get that. And it's like, well, sure, why not? But I mean, why? I mean, if I was making a movie, I would fuck with people as much as I possibly could. So why not?
Absolutely. So looking ahead, we also have some zombies on the horizon. So, you know, we got another infection movie on the way for our next recorded. We have a micro-budget zombie flick, Dead Meat, which is one that had been on my watch list for several years at this point. We finally got around to watching it here on Twisted Tuesday a couple of weeks ago. So that is next on the docket. Of course, we will be wrapping up the month with our Hibernophobia deep dive with The Devil's Doorway. You know, doing a little bit of religious horror, which makes all the sense of the world right now, especially after last weekend's success at the box office for our new releases of the week. I'm really happy to see Late Night with the Devil making as much as it did in... Mm-hmm. The limited theater count that it did have, because that is very uncommon. Even more so just seeing the Sunday total of, you know, it making 666,000. Mm-hmm. Which is fantastic. Now I think the whole it making 666, like 666,666, is complete BS. Like, I felt like that's just a market employee, because of course it is. But regardless, if it hit, even if it just hit the number in the thousands, you know, that's perfect. So I will say, if it's not in theaters out by you guys, like, I don't stress it. You know, like, it will be streaming on Shudder next month. I'm sure that will probably be added to Twisted Thursday rotation for next month at some point, probably that same week or the week after. So stay tuned on that front. But I'm excited to talk about some DIY zombies this next recording.
Yeah, so Late Night with the Devil, indie film. Good to see that it did well. I mean, it did 2.6 in like one third of the theaters by, I think, the early Sunday morning trap. So, I mean, that's fantastic. Immaculate did well, obviously, too. So that's good to see. You know, ultimately, we live on a planet where 95% of the population of this planet believes in some god. So it's like religious horror is always going to strike. I myself, you know, on my best day, am a agnostic. So it's like, but at the same time, I love theology and I love religious horror. I just love it. I still will say that The Exorcist Believer was a better film than most people think it was. They just need to let it in. They need to pretend that the first Exorcist didn't happen, because if you're putting it up against that, well, then you're just going to lose every time. But yeah, it'll be fun to get into the Twisteds and just watch some of this stuff, especially when that one comes up, because I think that one's going to generate a lot of conversation, and I am interested to see what our crew thinks of that one, because there's some things in there. I have some opinions that I think I would rather not record about that movie. Still a great film, something we should all look forward to seeing. And yeah, from here, let's dig into the red meat and let's all eat hearty and see what happens.
Absolutely. So with that being said, guys, that will do it for us here tonight on Handle with Scare. We will be releasing several episodes this week, so stay tuned on that front. Be sure to check out your podcatcher of choice. And again, be sure to join us every Tuesday and Thursday for our watch parties. I know Grind has been doing like a pre-stream before Twisted Tuesday, typically watching the new Walking Dead spinoff.
Yep.
Which is usually like an hour or so before like we typically do Tuesday night streams. And of course, that's at least the pre-show stuff is over in the Discord, so be sure to join that. I will have a link to that in the show notes, so go check it out. Join our community there. But in the meantime, hope you guys have a great weekend. You know, it is Easter right around the corner. We will be watching a new Easter horror movie, which I don't know if I'm excited or dreading. Find out more on Thursday when we watch what the fuck is the name of the movie? Easter Bunny? Easter? It's something like that.
Yeah, Easter, Deadly Easter, Easter, Deadly Bunny.
It's Easter something Easter. That's all I know. But I think there was like a, I don't know if it was Troma or Full Moon also had an Easter flick coming out this week. So maybe we'll just watch both and we'll see which one is worse than the other. I don't know. But, you know, the poster looks cool. And it's probably going to be one of those situations where the poster is cooler than the movie. But I digress. We'll figure that out on Twisted Thursday this week. But you guys, have a good night, and we'll see you for the next one.